Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome Todd Pletcher to Race Trackers. Hello, Todd.
Hello.
Todd, thanks so much for joining us. I know you have a busy schedule. We want to add our congratulations to your great Belmont victory last week on Saturday.
Thank you very much.
It's a feat that's only been accomplished a few times, winning two of the Triple Crown races with different horses. And the person who did it last was your mentor, Wayne Lucas, and I guess you were with him in 1995 when he accomplished that with Thunder Gulch and Timber Country. Tell us about the difficulties of having two horses on the Triple Crown Trail at once.
Well, I mean, it's really not a difficult thing. It's actually a luxury, you know, the way we look at it. We're fortunate enough to have some nice horses and multiple entries in the Kentucky Derby. And so it sort of made it an easy decision for us, once Always Dreaming won the Kentucky Derby, to just take him to Pimlico. And same time, we started preparing Taffer and Patch to possibly run in the Belmont. And, you know, so if there was any silver lining to not winning the Preakness, we didn't have that conflict to worry about once Always Dreaming wasn't able to win the Preakness. And we knew we were going to give him some time after the race, so we were able to kind of focus our attention on Taffer and Patch and preparing them for the Belmont.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously preparing for a mile and a half is a whole different training regimen. This is the third Belmont. You won with Rags to Riches. You won with Talis to Malice. Kind of interesting, I guess, you know, that Rags to Riches, you know, beat Curlin, and Curlin, in fact, was the sire of Talis to Malice. But this one with Taprit, you had to change his running style a little bit for this race to keep him closer. Was that by design?
Well, we felt like the reason why he didn't run well in his two previous races was he didn't really get involved in the race the way we wanted to. At Keeneland in the Bluegrass, that was sort of his fault because he missed the break, and then he got pinched back a little bit after breaking slowly, and that kind of left him out of the race and going last into the first turn behind very slow fractions. So we felt like we needed to change that. And we were hoping to in the Derby, but unfortunately he was bumped pretty solidly at the start, and that took him out of his game. So I thought, despite that, he ran pretty well in the Kentucky Derby. And so we were very focused on making sure he got away from the gate alertly and into the race. And he actually ended up getting exactly the trip in the Belmont that we had talked about with Jose prior to the race. And so we were fortunate that it worked out that way. And, you know, he really couldn't have gotten a better trip than he did. He was able to kind of sit in the garden spot and save ground the whole way. And then, of course, then he needed to be the one to find more at the end and finish off the mile and a half, which he was able to do.
Right. And I think when you observe it, you're exactly correct. I think the race was, with the tone was set into that first turn. You know, Jose Ortiz hustling him to keep position and put him where he was, you know, allowed him to have an unmolested trip and just try to gut it out and pass the leader who ran well himself. There was a point in the stretch there where it looked like it might be a ding-dong finish, but then your horse pulled away. Were you concerned at all when he ducked in towards the last inside the 70-yard pole there?
You know, I really, really couldn't appreciate that until I saw the head-on later on, and you know, it did look like he veered in a little bit. I think watching the head-on and the pan shot, he kind of cleared Irish War Cry when he did swerve in a little bit. But my biggest concern was it just seemed like between the 316th pole and the 8th pole that he loomed up to Irish War Cry, and I thought he had him, and then it looked like Irish War Cry started to rally back, and so there was a moment in my mind where I said, man, I don't want to finish second in the Belmont again. You know, we've had five of those already, and after last year losing by a nose with Destin, I was a little concerned that we might not be able to get by him, but like I said, he was just able to find a little more at the end.
Well, that's great. I mean, the unsung, the fan favorite who tries hard every time is Pat. You have to be proud about how well he ran, too. He ran a big race himself.
Yeah, I thought he ran really well. He was, you know, from post, I guess it turned out to be post 11 with the one defection, but he got a good trip and he was able to kind of keep into his rhythm and his gallop, but from that post he was never really able to save much ground. So, you know, I thought he ran very well. He kept finishing up, and you know, to finish third in there, I thought was a big move forward for him.
No, that's great. Well, I want to move on quickly to your trip to Ascot, but I guess always dreaming fans are wondering what you're thinking about next. Would the Jim Dandy be a natural spot to try to bring him back?
I think the Jim Dandy's the most likely possibility. We'll keep an eye on the Haskell as well, but you know, right now we're thinking about just going to Saratoga and hopefully running into Jim Dandy, and hopefully that would set him up for the Travers. So that's the most likely scenario, but we'll continue to kind of evaluate both races.
Right. Well, exciting times for the three-year-olds, because I guess the three-year-old of the year is still up for grabs, because it's such a bit of a jumbled picture. So a lot will be determined in the you know, the upcoming months. I wanted to move quickly. You're taking a horse over to Royal Ascot. It's running the Queen Anne, American Patriot. That's got to be exciting. That's a bit of a different thing. Tell us a little bit about that and when you're going over.
Well, the horse has already arrived there. He's training in Newmarket now, and so he's settled in well, and all systems are go. It's a big challenge. You know, he's coming off a grade one win in the Makers 46 Mile in Keeneland. So we've kind of had this in mind with him since then. You know, he seems like a versatile horse that hopefully can handle the transition to a race like that. But, you know, at the same time, it's a very tall order running against some of the best turf horses in the world. So he'll need to step up a notch and bring his A game, but it's exciting to give it a try.
Now, of course, it's on the international stage in the last few years, Americans have done very well over there. I think much to the chagrin of British racing enthusiasts and fans. I guess you're having Frankie Dettori ride. Has he ever ridden a horse for you before?
He hasn't ridden that horse, but he's ridden some horses for us in the past. And, you know, we felt like it was important to get someone that was familiar with the course. And Dettori has had tremendous success at Ascot, and specifically Royal Ascot. So we feel fortunate to have him on board.
Well, of course, he's a local rider there, and more than a local rider, he's a dominant rider. And, well, I guess the big excitement about winning a race at Royal Ascot, and Wesley Ward has enjoyed it a few times, is getting to meet the Queen. So have you gone over the proper protocol if you have to accept the trophy from the Queen?
I think I'd be a little bit nervous about that situation, but I've been to Royal Ascot a few times, and I've been in the royal enclosure and stood pretty close to the Queen, so it's always amazed me at you know, the access you have and how close you can be to her while you're basically in the paddock for the race.
It's it's one of the great things about racing, right? All the people you get to meet that otherwise wouldn't have, and royalty is that's legitimate royalty. So that's real royalty.
Sure.
Well, Todd, I know how busy you are. I don't want to keep you any longer, but accept our congratulations. Thanks so much for giving us your time. And,
all right, Bill.
And,
thank you very
much.
Good
luck over there. Good luck on
all right,
the other side of the pond. Bye.
Thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye.